He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Monday lively edition of the Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management, and I'm here with Barry Kite, our chartered financial analyst, in my newsletter on Sunday. When I finally got it out Sunday morning, I said, it is hard for me to imagine Trump and Bessent not pulling out all the stops to get oil prices down and Iran under control. And then I closed by saying this should be a very interesting week. Well, it already has been. And as of now, the Dow Jones Industrial Average is up 867 points or 46,444. The NASDAQ is up 416 points as the short sellers are crying the blues. The NASDAQ is up 1.96% to 22071. The S&P 500 is up 112 or 1.7%. Small caps up 2.6% this morning. The surprising part for me, the bond market doesn't seem to be buying into all of this yet. The 10-year remains high at 4.34, but oil is down 7.5%. I also said in my newsletter, I said it would not take much to drop those oil prices. A few words from Trump will do it, and that's what's happening right now. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. I'm here with Barry Kite, our chartered financial analyst. Well, as I wrote the newsletter on Saturday morning and on Friday, it was pretty bleak, Barry. The Dow was down 1,000 points last week, which translates to a 2.15% loss. The NASDAQ was down 2.1, entering into correction territory, breaking below its 200-day moving average. And the S&P was also down 2.1% last week. But as you look around the world, it was even worse because we're not as dependent on oil imports as the rest of the world is. Europe was down 3.6% last week. China was down 3%. Japan was down 3.2%. And as I said, all three U.S. Major stock indexes were below their 200-day. But the golden crosses were still in place, Barry. Those golden arches, which the is the 50-day above the 200-day, the golden crosses were still in place. Gold was down 11% last week. Silver was down 16%. And as we ended the week, oil was up 74% year-to-date, and the bond market spiked, ouch, to 4.39%. Why? Well, fear of inflation. And when bond investors fear inflation, they demand a higher interest rate as inflation fears become a real concern. And you had this big spike. It's like the worst of all worlds on Friday, okay? Everything. Right. It looks so bleak on Friday. Gold, silver, interest rates, the bond market, oil, gasoline prices, just everything, okay?
It was a flight to safety, it seemed like, over the weekend. We had kind of the same thing the Friday before, and then Monday, you know, last Monday was kind of a bounce-back day. You know, today, hopefully this holds. We're up 2% in the NASDAQ at the moment. But, you know, it's like everyone, you know, no one wants to hold anything over the weekend because no one knows what's going to happen. And, then, of course, things, even the futures were bleak this morning until Trump and got some... getting a little bit of a news conference in and some truth posts or tweets or whatever we call them nowadays, but it's been an interesting dynamic going into the weekends for sure.
Yeah, and after I gathered the numbers from last week, then I did my analysis on the numbers and I said this: This situation could change very quickly if the Strait of Hormuz is cleared and oil prices start dropping. This is quoting my newsletter from Friday, Saturday, Sunday. This is not a time to make any big changes, as this is a very fluid situation that could change dramatically in a matter of days rather than weeks. Well, I had that right. I said, for now, the market is betting on a long, protracted war that will keep oil prices elevated for a long, long time. And in fact, all these inverse funds were breaking out last week to the upside. But then, here's the key to my analysis. I said, as you have witnessed in the past, the market does not get it right very often when turmoil comes into the market. The forward P.E. ratio of the S&P 500 is now 19.9. It has not been under 20 in over 1 year. And it was recently clear up to 23. So, Barry, the forward P.E. has come down from 23x to 19.9x. That's the cheapest I've seen the market in a long time. I went on to say the earnings situation has not moved at all. In fact, it has gotten even better since the beginning of the year. And then the money line was, it's hard for me to imagine Trump and Bessent not pulling out all the stops to get oil prices down and Iran under control. And so far, that's pretty much what's happened. Now, if we go back and assess what has happened, here's a quick little timeline. Since we went home on Friday, dejected, beat up, battered round, been shot down, been sent up. But that's the old Traveling Wilbury song. Number one, Trump put out an ultimatum. I guess that was on Saturday. Saying that he would obliterate Iran's power plants if the Strait of Hormuz is not opened in 48 hours. And I was writing the newsletter at that time. And stock market actually liked that ultimatum. It felt like he's pulling out all the stops to clear that Strait of Hormuz, which is the choke point right now. And as I did the newsletter, I saw a lot of futures on individual stocks trading on Saturday. They were up about a half a percent to 1%. So I said, initially the market likes this. Okay, then on Sunday, we didn't have any more news, and the market started to look at this as a major escalation. And the futures were down last night as I retired for the evening. And as I woke up this morning, the futures were down. The stock indexes were in red as the Trump-Iran tensions rose, and oil went above $110 per barrel. Man, I would not be buying oil at this level because, like I said, this is a temporary situation, and it could change in a matter of days, not weeks. Then Bessent went on one of the Sunday shows, and he defended the Iran strikes amid the oil price surge. He said that we're focused on weakening their defense near the Strait of Hormuz. In other words, we're trying to open it up as pressure mounts on Tehran to reopen the critical shipping routes. You know, Bessent has been a jack of all trades, really. I mean, usually a Treasury secretary doesn't get involved with trade negotiations with China. Peace negotiations in the Middle East. He's been quite an asset, I think. He was on Meet the Press. Okay, and then this morning, as I'm wiping the sleep out of my eyes, and we get the text or the breaking news that Trump said. I guess he was on CNBC. Trump said Iran and the U.S. hold productive talks, and the futures went up 1,000 points on that news. And then to increase the drama even more, Iran comes out and denies that they had any talks. And in the meantime, I'm seeing alerts coming in from I-24, which is Israeli live news, that their missile sirens are going off. And I'm going, well, where's the truth here? Did they have productive talk? I think, Barry, there's probably a leadership vacuum in Iran right now. Who's he talking with? Well, who thinks they're the leader? Who's the spokesman for Iran at this point in time with all their leadership basically dead right now?
And they can't communicate amongst each other either. So that's the other problem. So, yeah, it's a fluid situation, as you said.
But right now, the market seems to be believing Trump. Because look at the market's reaction here. And in fact, we're gaining a little bit of steam. Despite Iran saying, we've had no talks with Washington. We don't know what he's talking about. The drama goes on. We'll be right back. Second quarter of today's Best Stocks Now show. And, of course, we're seeing some huge moves in a lot of the previous leadership stocks. And, you know, it gets pretty far out of whack when I look at my top 300 ranked stocks over the weekend, and like 250 of them are oil-related. That's called a crowded trade. And, I mean, you're placing a big bet on your theory and your thesis that oil prices are going to remain high for a long, long time, that inflation's going to zoom higher, that interest rates are going to go to the moon, the tech stocks are going to be crushed by rising interest rates and a shrinking multiple. I don't think that's a very smart bet myself. And, whether you like Trump or not, it's pretty hard to bet against him. I mean, if the market hasn't learned by now with the tariff threats and everything else that's happened along the way, and each time the market's gone on to hit new highs, and we've seen no damage to the earnings estimates whatsoever. But there's, you know, look, more. Let's say half the country, less a few people, I guess, judging by the last election, pretty much want the economy to fail and Trump to fail and the war to fail and the markets to fail. I just say that that's been a pretty bad bet, betting against the current administration, whether you like them or not. Now, today I'm just looking at some of these stocks. GE Vernova, which is hitting a new all-time high, I believe, is up 7.9%. Palantir, which is now an official vendor to the U.S. government and playing a very big role in the war, Palantir's up almost 6% this morning. Europe's best stock, a big chunk of the European index, is ASML. It's up 5.2%. South Korea was down like 6% this morning, Barry. And now it's up 6%. That's a 12% turnaround. And, of course, it's mostly those two chip stocks, those memory stocks. And, by the way, I read that one of the ETF companies is getting approval from the SEC to do a leverage 2-to-1 South Korea stock or ETF on those two stocks. Right. So you really want some action? You like Korean food? Do you like it spicy? Do you like it hot? You throw on a little bit of that chili garlic paste? Woo, man. That'll do it. Two times SK Hynix and Samsung. Cameco's up 4.4%. It was breaking down on Friday. Taiwan Semi's up 3.2. Rolls-Royce is up 6.1. Quanta's up 4.4, Vistra up 5.4, Astera Labs up 6.6, so the AI trade. And in all of those top moving stocks this morning, I don't see any oil and gas stocks, even though the market pretty much had chosen that as their new gold. It was their black gold, Texas Tea, as gold got hammered and whacked. Why? Inflation fears and interest rates rising on this theory that oil prices were going to remain high for a long, long time, and there was nothing we could do about it. And everybody, the crowd, I call it the crowd.
Well, yeah, and along your point, we're talking about Trump and Besant. There's a quote, it was before the Iran war started. He said, Trump said, if I want the market to go up, I can make it go up. And that was, it was kind of that hit pretty strong, where it's, as you said, Besant and Trump in this week's newsletter, they expect something from them to make it work.
Right? Yeah, so. And I mean, Tibet, they have a pretty loud microphone and a pretty big platform to speak from.
Well, in the same adage of don't fight the Fed, I think in this instance, right, it's just no different than this time last year with the tariffs, right?
100%.
Don't fight the executive branch at this point.
Yes,
I guess.
And if you would have fought the Fed in 2022 when they announced they were going to coming around the tracks with a freight train to raise interest rates. You had Silicon Valley Bank, which did not get off the tracks. They decided to fight the Fed, and now they're no longer around to tell even their story, because they got ran over by the freight train and those long bonds they were holding, and the redemptions that they got hit with really crushed them. And before this weekend started, you know that the odds had swung to a rate hike? There was a 20% rate hike chance at the next Fed or within a couple of Fed meetings. And now, obviously, with this news out, those odds are getting crushed. I still think there's an oil play, though. I think we've exposed some real weaknesses, number one. Number two, we've seen some degradation, especially in the LNG markets, where that United Arab Emirates lost 17% of their capacity that will take years to recover from. I think U.S. LNG stocks are still in play. Actually, it was Qatar, which lost 20%. They supply 20% of the world's LNG. And, of course, they're strategically located, more so than Louisiana and Texas. But I think that it's our LNG stocks are in a good position, right?
Well, in our... Or at least at this point, our terminals are a little safer, right? In terms of what part of the world they're in. A lot of these production plants are actually they fill them up. I mean, you fill up the tanker offshore, and so it's that's part of why the strait's so important. That it's in terms of redirecting the you can't really redirect the production, because that's where the terminal is, and if the terminal is within some kind of drone shot or missile shot, then it's an issue at this point. So
absolutely, and I think all of this money that was just absolutely flooding into the energy patch, the chemical stocks, satellites, cyber, you'd have also had to buy into the theory or belief that this would be a very long, protracted war, maybe along the order of Iraq, maybe along the order of Afghanistan. And I just think common sense and logic, it's pretty hard to buy into that Trump's going to sit there and allow a big, long war to go on and on. That's one of the biggest platforms that he ran on. And then all of a sudden, a couple of bad actors come along, real bad actors, Venezuela and Iran, insisting on enriching uranium, which I think they've proven. If they would have got a nuclear weapon, they would have used it. Come on, do you really believe that they were enriching uranium for peaceful purposes? And that they wouldn't have used that they would use whatever they could if they had it. I think you got to be pretty convinced of that. And hopefully this thing is just about over. We'll see. We'll be right back.
This is Bill Gunderson. Thank you for tuning in to today's Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show. I put several hours of research in during the wee hours of the morning each day to bring you the very best cutting-edge stories that I can. To get 2 free weeks of my newsletter, go to GundersonCapital.com. To talk to us about our fee-based only money management services, call us at 855-611-BEST. Now, back to the second half of the show.
Back here to the second half of today's Best Stocks Now show. I just looked, well, at least for the last couple hours on Seeking Alpha. The number one trending story, Barry, was the next bear market has just begun. And, of course, that's going to get a lot of page reads. And now it's not even on the top. It's not trending anymore. That article's not trending.
At least at this point, that one didn't marinate very well.
I've always said, choose your gurus wisely. The hashtag is CYGW, choose your gurus wisely. Now, let's just go through the numbers, all right? The S&P 500 last year, which is now in the books, 2025, made $271 per share. It's doubled since COVID. We were back at $140 a share during the 2020 COVID year. That was a record year for earnings in 2025. Now, $271 per share. This year, which we're almost done with the first quarter of this year, the earnings estimates for this year are $315. Yeah, you got to put that up against $271 from last year. And I think that works out to a 12 or 13% increase, 40 divided by 2. Yeah, about 15 or 16% actually over last year's record earnings. And those earnings estimates have been going up, not down. And yes, I know, since then a war's come along, isn't that going to really hammer the earnings estimates? Well, I would just say that as many companies benefit, the oil patch, the energy patch, which is about 10% of the market, as would be hurt by that. Okay, now let's go a step further. In 2027, which we begin in a little over 9 months from now, the estimates are 366. We go from 271 to 315 to 366. Slap a 21, 22 multiple, which is what the market's been trading at recently. The consensus S&P 500 target price out there 12 months from now is 8,300, just above 8,300. My target price 12 months from now is 8,030. Now, as the market's been going up recently, we were getting narrow and narrower upside potential. But with this pullback, this is the best upside potential I've seen in a long time. If my target price remains the same at 8,030 and the S&P goes down to 6,600, now we have 23.5% upside potential over the next year, which is way above average. The long-term average is, around 11, something like that. So this is the cheapest market that we've had in a long, long time. Now, even a broken clock is right twice a day. I heard Jim Cramer on Friday say his oscillator, whatever his oscillator, that just shows oversold, overbought conditions, had reached the lowest level it has. It had gone negative. And he said that almost. Now, that doesn't take into account valuations. That's just a technical trading way outside, way below the mean average, and ready for a big bounce. So he was pretty bullish on Friday. But, as we ended the day on Friday, the mood was horrible. And sometimes that's the best. The more horrible you go back to COVID, it was so dark in March of 2020. That was the cheapest. That was one of the cheapest markets I ever ever saw.
Kind of the old adage of buying, but kind of the old adage of buying, you know, buying when the VIX is high, right? Which means it's a gauge of fear usually, and so that's that adage worked, especially how quickly. I mean, you had, like you said, you had a pretty volatile week last week because you had bounce back on Monday, and then
really two good days in the market,
right? And then kind of a pullback the remaining three, and as you said, we all the indices ended up, right there below support and down over 1% last week. So,
and the mood and the sentiment, and I think the most stunning thing for me on Friday after the market closed was the 10-year closing at 4.39. That is the high it broke out, and that just showed you that the bond market. And it still is to some extent. The bond market's not really buying this move down in oil prices. It's still expecting inflation to go big time. But, you know, the reason interest rates moved up like that was fear of inflation. We demand a higher rate on our bonds because of the risk we're taking that the inflation is going to erode the value of said bonds,
and particularly if you're looking 10 years down the road, like a 10-year treasury that we
exactly
pull. Right.
So. And so that was a huge shock. Breakdowns in many key stocks below that 200-day moving average. Now the caveat to that is the golden crosses were still in place. The 50 were still above the 200-day. In fact, well in place in most of the indexes, but they did go below their 200-day. This is the first time they've done that since the tariff war 1 year ago. Remind me next April, March, let's say February the 29th of next year, 28th, to sell everything and get back in after the March-April shock. Because this is the second year in a row. Last year, the S&P went down to 4,800.
Well, and don't forget, we had 2023. You had early March. That's when you had Silicon Valley Bank. You mentioned that one earlier. Of course, that got covered up a bit eventually with Nvidia's breakout earnings, and then the AI and weight loss story took off in early a little bit just after in March of 2023. But yeah, that was a bit of a shock too. So.
Yes, and as I did the technical analysis this week, it was like the Grim Reaper.
Right,
I should have called it. Here's the Grim Reaper section of the newsletter. Europe absolutely collapsing after being up 25% last year. China absolutely collapsing, breaking down below all moving averages as Tencent, Alibaba, PDD, all the leading Chinese stocks, absolutely getting crushed. And it wasn't just the U.S. bond market that was getting crushed. As I looked at bond yields around the world, Germany, Italy, Brazil, even Russia, the bond yield spiked as the world, as the bond market, the global bond market, all of a sudden was pricing in huge inflation and even a rate hike by the Fed maybe later down the road. And, I mean, to really buy into that trade that was going on, you had to join the crowd. The crowd is always the one that moves the fastest. You know, they're the lemmings that are headed off the cliff, and then all of a sudden they turn around and they're headed back into the market. Then they turn around and they're headed back out of the market. I call that the crowd. I call that the crowd sentiment. And you don't want to follow. Be very wary of moves in the crowd. So now you got the chip stocks surging today. Now, whether this is going to lead to a de-escalation and smoking a peace pipe and coming up with some kind of resolution, I think that is not a certainty yet at all. But at least, you know, they're pulling out all the stops, like I said they would, in trying to at least talk the markets down until further progress is made. Now, in the meantime, you know what else really sold off because of the fear of the rising oil prices? Well, yeah, the airlines. I mean, they sold off. But AI sold off because it takes so much energy. And right now, fossil fuels, because we don't have we don't have small modular nuclear reactors. And all of a sudden, you know, the market was pricing in that Meta would stop building AI centers, data centers, that NVIDIA would stop selling the chips, that their sales would go down because it would get just too expensive to power these data centers with oil prices above $100 a barrel. And that was another trade that was taking place in the markets. And once again, it was tied. You had to tie your theory and your belief and your actions to the thought that oil prices would remain above $100, maybe even go to $150, $180, $200 for a long, long time. That just didn't seem like a very logical bet to me. Okay, more on all of this when we come back. Very volatile day in the markets, as usual.
You gotta go where you wanna go, do what you wanna do.
Welcome back here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now show. Well, I mean, there's still a fog, obviously, hanging over the market. There's still a lot of things that could happen. But at the same time, I mean, the earnings situation has not changed. Like I said, we're going to have record earnings this year and record earnings next year. And just using the multiples that the market's been trading at recently, you get some pretty lofty target prices right now. So your risk-to-reward ratio, there's still risk, obviously. And like I said, I mean, it's a hair trigger. It would not take much to get those oil, which really, there's two things that are clogging the market right now. One, number one, the elephant in the room is oil prices, because that's affecting interest rates, all right? That's the second elephant in the room, but it's very much tied to the biggest elephant in the room, and that's oil prices. And let's not forget, demand for oil has been pretty tepid here before this all happened. We were under $60 per barrel before all of this happened. And now here we are, you know, we've been as high as 100, over 100, maybe 105, something like that. But it's a hair trigger. Like, it would not take much. And Truth Social, one message on Truth Social brings it down 7.6%. And then, of course, Iran denying everything. Where's the truth? Well, eventually the truth will win out. But in the meantime, they're going to do everything they can do to keep those, to get those oil. Is this not an election year, too, Barry? I mean, that's another factor.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it certainly is an election year, midterm elections. And, you know, I guess the one caveat to that is I don't think an incumbent president's won a midterm election. I think
no.
Twice in the last, I don't know, 70 or 50 something years, but I don't know how much. I mean, obviously it's important. I don't know how much the president, you know, especially given his last term, if he really cares necessarily.
He's going to pull out all the stops to be looking good in November,
right?
You know, for all of his colleagues and everybody running for office, and he doesn't want to lose the Senate. He'll probably lose the House. He's almost guaranteed to be impeached at some point in time.
Of course. Yeah.
So that all goes into play also. So you kind of have to stay level-headed and use a little bit of logic here. I mean, to crowd into the oil trade, and the bet against the bond market, that's pretty, that there to me, there's the risky trade, betting on that scenario.
Yeah, I mean, I think all the pessimism is almost seems to be priced in at this point, right? Like you said, it's the fog of, you know, could it get worse there? Sure. Could there be a World War III or some, you know, nuclear event?
Armageddon.
Right. But, you know, other than that, I think the street is essentially closed. The market is kind of priced that in for now to last a while. And so any good news on that front, you're going to see the market have a good pop to the top side. So
yes, it panics because it's a very crowded trade and there's a lot of short. They're really the hot money. I mean, they really jump off the cliff into the water. When that trade turns around.
Well, and you mentioned it in gold last week. So another, you know, think of a hot trade, right?
How crowded was the gold, the silver trade?
Well, the gold trade is even interesting because we were talking about it being priced in dollars, right? And of course the dollar's gone up, interest rates have gone up. That does hurt gold prices, but I also looked at it, priced in other currencies, and it's also, you know, taking a hit. So it's not just a dollar story. It's the fact that, you know, people sold all around the globe sold their gold, right?
Yes.
I mean, it's not just
in
a
mass
financial price difference, right?
And you know, that could easily happen to oil if just the supply demand comes back. Yes, the supply is constrained right now because of the Strait of Hormuz, but you clear that Strait of Hormuz and where's the constraint? Now there has been some damage to some of the refineries and whatnot, but it seems to me like you get back to the old oil supply-demand equation, which is not very favorable. I mean, oil has risked down to $70 a barrel very, very quickly, and you could see how fast the bottom drops out of a trade, a crowded trade. Look at silver, which is now down 45%. From its recent high. Okay, well, I got to remind everybody about Sarasota, April the 7th, 8th, and 9th, a Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. We'll be spending spring break in Sarasota, and we hope you'll join us over at the Even Hotel over in Lakewood Ranch, which is the nerve center these days of Sarasota. And we've been there. That's where we were last year. We were there at least once, maybe twice.
No, we've been there a couple of times before.
Okay,
a couple of nice little restaurants close by.
So, yeah, there was a really good seafood restaurant within a block away. Okay, how can you beat that? And we'll be teaching a workshop. I'll be teaching a workshop. You'll get to meet our new junior analyst. And Barry, of course, that will be Tuesday the 7th at the workshop. And then we've got two full days of appointments, one-hour slots, the 7th and the 8th. And you better reserve one of those. I haven't had an update yet from Edie, but we've never failed to fill the slots there in Sarasota. Call 855-611-BEST, 855-611-BEST, to reserve your either a one-hour appointment, the workshop, or both, okay? And lastly, that newsletter I send out every weekend, I put a lot of work into it. This was one of the hardest ones I've ever done, actually, because the technicals look so terrible on Saturday morning. I had to really do a lot of soul searching and thinking through all of this. Never is there a time to, and our portfolios, they've done rather well. I mean, you've got the S&P down 4 or 5% right now, and the Elter growth is still up pretty well for 2026. That's pretty incredible. Get 4 free weeks, newsletter, app access, live trade alerts, daily market summaries. Go to GundersonCapital.com. This is a good time to learn. It's good to learn during duress in the market. GundersonCapital.com or call us and reserve a spot, 855-611-BEST, or an appointment, a phone or Zoom appointment, 855-611-BEST. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Past performance is not indicative of future performance. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Charles Schwab. Schwab is a member of SIPC and FINRA.